plenty to eat and are coming ready to get some more to eat today. And we've sure had a good time with our family. It's good to have everybody together, and that makes it all worthwhile. Let's bow our heads to the Lord. Lord, we're so grateful to gather together around your word today, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, that you'll just bless us, Lord, as we walk through these scriptures. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that you give your word to the, it seems like you bypassed all of the wise and all of the ones that you chose the, like Paul was saying here, the weak ones of the world, the weak ones to give your goodness to. And we're so grateful, Lord, this morning. We've got plenty to be thankful for. And so we thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us. And we ask, Lord, that you'll just quicken the word to our hearts this morning, Lord, and give us what we have need of. Amen. Now, I don't have any slides this morning, so if you've got your Bible, we'll just turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and look in verse 26, where we were kind of studying last Sunday. And, you know, we're kind of looking at some of the things Paul told to the Corinthians who were, we laid out the last couple of lessons that, you know, the Corinthians were that Greek city that lived in just a lot of debauchery. They had the way that they worshiped was just steeped in sin. They'd go up to the temple and had all the temple prostitutes and different kind of things. And so Paul is when God gets a hold of your life, especially in that age, just as it does in this day, it certainly sets you apart and makes you look odd and peculiar and different. And so Paul's framing it up to these believers in verse 26. He said, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." And of course, they were in that Greek city where, you know, there was a lot of education. People studied different languages. They had all this understanding. But he's laying it out for them that it looks like God just bypassed all that wisdom and all the religious people of the day, just like he's done today. But he says in verse 27, that God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, I love how Paul packs so much into the things that he's saying. He's saying that God will take something that a gospel that the world thinks is just foolishness and will save somebody that's just nothing, that God can take something that seems like nothing and save somebody that looks like nothing and make them something. And he'll take the base things of the world, and so he's laying all this out so that we know that there's nothing in ourselves that we can glory of. And that's really when to meditate on that scripture, for ye see your calling. When you're called to salvation, you're called to a purpose. There's nothing in yourself that you can glory of, because it's God that did the whole thing. When you get, you know, you're sitting at home maybe, and the mailman comes, and you get an invitation to a wedding, and you get that nice looking envelope, and you open it up, and it says it's got your name in it or whatever, but you didn't invite yourself. It's God that gave you an invitation, and you accepted it. Now that's really just really see that if you see your calling, to see your calling, then you're resting on the being identified with it. When God calls someone that's predestinated before the foundation of the world, and you recognize that, it ties you back to the eternal thought of God. So your call, what is your calling? It's an invitation to a feast, or the divine invitation to embrace salvation in the kingdom of God. So a call is something that you cannot initiate, which is what is laid out for us in John chapter 6, verse 44, where Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So to draw means metaphorically to draw by an inward power or to lead or impel. Now, we've all experienced that in our own lives. I sure have experienced that. You know, growing up in a message, you know, in the message, we'd have the tapes playing in the house, and it just fall on deaf ears. You know, my daddy would read us Bible stories and at night, and sometimes I'd sleep through it. And you'd come to church, and it's a thing. But then one day, the Father gets to working on your heart, and he begins to draw on you. So no man, now this is such an important scripture because it seems like we get frustrated with one another sometimes, get frustrated with your kids. We were sitting around talking the other night about a young man, or I'll say a young person that we were, you know, just watching over the years, and you want them to come to the Lord. And you get simply kind of like real frustrated and everything, but you know, God's got everything in his time, and you could take a paddle and whoop them, and I'm not talking about Zach, I'm just talking in general. That sounds like I'm talking about Zach, but I'm not. Maybe those things could apply to him though. It applies to all of us because you know just in the gospel, a minister stand behind the pulpit. You want to take a gospel paddle sometimes, and why don't you move? Why don't you do something? But there's that scripture laying there that no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me drawing. Now that's what happened with that Billy Paul started coming back to church, and the deacon come up and tapping him on the shoulder, it don't work that way. It's not by force, it's not by compelling. No matter how much you want to take somebody by the lapel and drag them to the altar, it just won't work that way. But aren't you glad it doesn't work that way? Amen. Because that what Paul is saying here. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. In other words, there's nothing that I did or nothing you did. All Brother Branham says that we do is we preach the gospel and we cast the net, and then God can go to work and begin to drawing and wooing at somebody's heart. Now, that's when you see your calling, that you didn't give your heart to the Lord because you were afraid. Your mama and daddy got you afraid and all these kind of things, but because it was a real, genuine calling that God got to working on your heart and pulled and drew you to himself. Now, see, a call, though, is not something that you can initiate. Because we're in this sinful state that we're living in. Back there, you know, when Adam first did the thing that he did, they got one word off and so forth. We know the story. And he got his fig leaves and went hiding behind the bushes, and here comes God calling for him, Adam, where art thou? Now, that's the same thing. I forget what sermon it is, but Brother Branham lays out that that's actually what the Father is still calling, Adam, where art thou? He's doing it through the ministry, through the preaching of the gospel, that when you come to church, he's crying out for you, and you're sitting there hiding behind your fig leaves and all the things that you're trying to do to work up. But it's God actually drawing you. It calling for you, and then if we'll respond, then we can see our calling. Amen. God called. You look at like Cain and Abel. Isn't it interesting that God called and laid out the path for both of them, just like he laid out the path for Jacob and Esau, but only one was able to recognize the calling and respond. You think God laid out to Esau, right? Just laid it out. Why don't you do like your brother? Or to Cain. Why don't you do like your brother? And just bring, but only Abel was able to actually listen and heed and hear by a revelation. Right. God called, but only one had a calling in both of their lives. Now, Brother Branham said in the infallibility of God's spoken word, he said, man in his nature is a castaway. Right. He's an alien. He's away from God. Then God, by grace, has to draw him to his own side. All that the Father has given me will come to me. No way at all. There ain't enough picture shows, enough dance halls, enough burlesque shows in the country to keep you away from God. When God goes to drawing back yonder before the foundation of the world, when he put your name down that you'd come, you're coming. That's all. That's all. He said, now, oh, you might be a hypocrite and work up and say this, that, or the other, but I mean when God calls. Now, look, think back in your own life. I sure do remember when God called me. It wasn't just some kind of education or theology or something. But it was something supernatural that began to pull in my heart. Right. And you recognize when it's different, you ain't just going to school and sitting there watching somebody draw on a chalkboard or something, but it's something real supernatural begins to tug and pull at your heart. I remember sitting there in church one time watching this young man. It seemed like we were in Columbia, South Carolina when I was a young boy. And I remember it just seemed like just kind of a boring service. And everybody, you know, you had sleepy people in there. But then from the back, this young man come up, and he was just tears falling down his face. And he, it seemed like the preacher wasn't preaching any kind of a special sermon. He was just laying out some things, and people in the front row, tired and sleepy. But God was moving in that person's heart. And see, that's the difference. That when God begins to call and pull at somebody's heart, something is going to happen. And it ain't because mama or daddy did something, or it ain't because, you know, maybe the preacher said something special, but God is the one that does the drawing. Now, see, that's the thing that makes the difference, is God does the calling. Right. And the seal of Christ, he said, some people come to church just for the emotional part. Some people come to church just to sing. Some people come in church just to enjoy the good singing. That's all right. Some people come to church and join church just to hide their meanness and make themselves a little better name in the neighborhood. Some come to church sincerely but don't ever have a touch from God. But when God calls a man, no man can come to me except my Father draws him first. And all that comes, I will give him everlasting life, raise him up at the last day. Oh, I hope you see it, brother. It's the work of the Holy Spirit revealing to the individual. Not upon some emotion, not upon something you should do or shouldn't do, or this, that, or the other. All those things are all right. The moves and works and shouting and dancing and speaking in tongues, all those things are all right. But the first thing, it has to be a spiritual revelation that God has given the individual, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God calling. That's right. Without that, brother, you're only impersonating, only pretending. Now, you think about that, how simple that can be. You just sitting in church and then God reveals to you that that's God calling you. That's what Paul's talking about when he says, you see your calling, brethren. That God could take somebody and pluck them out of the Gentile world, out of that Greek world of wisdom, and not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. That's why Paul could say in Romans chapter 9, verse 16, so then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. In other words, salvation is a gift. It's not something earned or deserved. Your calling is not something that you did to get it, or that something you merit, or something that you feel entitled to. But your calling is a gift. Like we were a few Sundays ago, we were doing that little exercise where I had the envelopes and, you know, I had some names written on them. I think it was Brother Terrence and Louise and I forget somebody else. And I wrote the name down and then, you know, give it out. Call you and then give it out. And that's playing out exactly what's happening in church when, as the gospel's being preached, it's actually giving you, it's actually calling what God thought of before the foundation of the world. And when you receive it, well, there you got your calling. There you got it there in your hand. You've got that envelope with your name on it. And so that's what Paul is trying to explain to the Corinthians. You see your calling, brethren. If you got it and you recognize that it ain't some man or your mama or daddy that called you, that you've got something that God give to you that identifies you with his thought from before the foundation of the world. Now, so that means your calling Your calling is not just education, which is what Paul gets over to in the next chapter. He starts talking about, I didn't come to you with enticing words and things, but I come to you with power, the expression of deity revealed through these words that I'm preaching to you. What we need, Brother Branham would say, what we need is not education. And you know, the reason why he said that, he's saying these things that might be sound a little bit confusing, but he said, when I went to school, we'd go to the math class, or, you know, the algebra would be real difficult. Math was hard for me. It was not easy. And you'd get in there, and you maybe not really understand what's being said. And the teacher's up there writing on the chalkboard, and you look over to your right, and there's somebody with their head on the desk with slobber coming out of their mouth. You know, they're just sleeping. You look over to the other side, and they're snoozing, and they're just not getting it because it's just education. And they're not really, they hadn't really got the vision of what it is. They're just there, and they're looking up at the clock waiting for the bell to ring. Now y'all know just as well as I, we've all been there where we're waiting for the bell to ring. You're sitting up in class. I hope that they're serving my favorite meal. I hope they're serving that good school lunchroom pizza today or whatever. And you're waiting on the bell to ring. Now the same thing happens in church, though. And so you come to church and you're not really getting it, and that's in school you fall asleep because you're not really enthused about it. And here in church, you come to church and you start falling asleep because you don't really know what's being explained, and it's just a bunch of symbols and algebra and things. And maybe like in school, the drool would be coming out of somebody's mouth next to you. Well, here in church, the same similar kind of thing can be happening, and it all becomes just education. It's just you're sitting there and you're waiting for the bell to ring. And that's why Brother Branham said, what we need is not education. We need the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost back in the church to demonstrate the power. Jesus never said, go into all the world and teach. He never said, go into all the world. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And the gospel is to demonstrate the power of the Holy Ghost, the resurrection. Now, you see, when he says that, it can be confusing because he's not saying we don't need teaching. He's saying we don't need education. He's saying we need inspired preaching of the gospel to actually demonstrate it and make it real, because that is how you'll see your calling, that you're just not educated into it. It's not just something where you gather to watch to wait for the bell to ring, but it's actually a supernatural calling where God is dealing with hearts and drawing people to himself. Now, brother, he would say in Israel and the church in 1953, he said, every one of you that held your hand, you've been listening in these meetings. No one in here could come to Jesus except God draws him. What's doing that? What's making that desire? God is here. God is here. Now, that's why Paul would say in that next chapter, chapter 2, that I come not to you with enticing words, but in the power and demonstration. Because the atmosphere of a Holy Ghost-filled church service will bring to people's awareness that God is there. And he said, what's doing it? What's making that desire? God begins to draw and begins to pull at the people. In the authority of the word, he said, you can only preach the gospel and let those who will come, and no man can come unless God draws him. So it all belongs to God. And if God has called you and give you a call to come to him, you should be very, very happy. Why should you be happy? Because there's that promise in Matthew chapter 5 that said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you got a desire in your heart, and I say this because I feel like in this hour that we're living in, it's creeping up on the church world until people just don't really care anymore. You can actually see, well, years ago, when the Lord was dealing with me, it seems like everybody, the Lord was dealing with everybody. But now it's gotten to where people have just grown, waxed colder and colder until they're not really hungry and are thirsting. And so that's why Jesus actually said, you're blessed. you're blessed to want it. You're blessed to something, you know. I remember sitting in church and just wanting so bad to know for sure where I was right positionally, and just having that hunger and craving to know if things were right in my life. And so you know, back then you look and you think, well, there's something wrong with me. But actually, there's something right. There's something right if you want God so much, until you're ready to pray all night, until you're ready to get alone with God with your Bible. There's something right with you if you want God so bad you're willing to do anything to get it. And there's something wrong if we've gotten so cold and so far away until church just becomes an education thing where we're just watching for the clock to be filled. But the thing is, we can't make you be different. I can't make myself be different. It's got to be God that can move on the scene and call and draw. And all we do, like this quote that I'm just reading here, that you can only preach the gospel and let those who will come. Now, you think about what an amazing thing that is, that you preach the gospel and then God goes to work, and you can't give the minister any credit. You can't give yourself any credit. You can't give your mama and your daddy any credit. You can't give the deacons any credit. It's all God. That's what Paul is telling us, that no flesh can glory because it's all God. You can't call yourself. You can't draw yourself. You can't give yourself a gift. It's all God. But when the gospel goes to be preached and the power and demonstration, it will do what it says it will do. Brother Ram will say, you can't come. There is no need of trying to do anything unless God draws you. When God draws you, then you'll come. And he that comes to me, I will know in no wise cast out. Now that's powerful right there. That when you start feeling that pulsating in your heart, and you know that it's God calling you, he promised that I will not cast you out. Right. If it's God pulling you, and it ain't just the minister trying to scare you or something, but it's God actually drawing you, he ain't going to cast you out. Amen. He said God has to do it. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit to even turn your heart. Takes God. Someone said, I sought God and sought God. No, no, no. God sought you, not you seeking God. God seeks you. Just like he sought Adam. The very first one he sought. Adam, where art thou? He's still seeking people. So salvation is not something humanity achieves or initiates independently. It begins with God's call, drawing individuals to himself. And the call is a desire to be saved that demonstrates that God is already at work in that individual's heart. It's that little pulsating down in your heart that says, I need something. God begins to work and begins to move. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, and we'll be closing here in just a second. Paul told Timothy, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So he's laying out, it's not by your own works, but there's a purpose. It's his grace to us, and it was all planned out before the world even began. And that's where your calling starts. Now that's why that's such a powerful statement. You see your calling, brethren. If you really see your calling, that you know what God has given you was the same thing that he thought of before the foundation of the world. In Isaiah 46, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. That the word you hear, the calling, is actually bringing you back to what was yours to begin with. But the call, and we'll close on this in just a moment, is without force or coercion. And Jehovah Jireh, Brother Branham, said, you believe that the Holy Spirit, through this week, has proved that he speaks here. He asked everybody to raise their hands. He said, there should be this many more or more. I feel that feeling. there's something wrong yet. Better come. And he said, remember, I can't force you to come against your own will. It's not by force or coercion, but it's by that gospel call. And glorify Jesus. He said, you can't desire that. God has to make it come to you. Just think, someone setting, the Holy Spirit says, this is your time to put up your hand. And then you would reject it. See, that's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, no man can come to me unless the Father draws him and all. What is drawing? Knocking at your door saying, this is it. This is it. Raise your hand now and say. Oh, to think about what a profound thing that God could be knocking at somebody's heart to identify with them, the present tense word for the day, knocking at their heart saying, this is it. And that's the sign of this end time, that in this day, the Laodicean church, that God will be put out of the church, knocking on the door on the outside, and nobody, hardly, barely anybody, will open the door, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, and so forth. So few would actually open up that door, till even Jesus would ask that question, will I find faith when the Son of Man returns? And we'll just stop there. Let's bow our heads. Lord God, we're so grateful, Lord, that you've given what the world calls foolish and just simplistic things, Lord, to save our simple, humble hearts and change us, Lord, to make us conform to the word. And I thank you, Lord God, that you've given us the ability to be able to see our calling and recognize that you've made us different from the world. You've set us apart, Lord God. And we know where we come from and where we're going. Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that you'll just, Lord, we've got so many things to be thankful for, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that you'll be with us for the remainder of the day, the remainder of this service, Lord Jesus. Just bless your people. Keep us now, we pray, in your name. Amen. God bless you. Thanks.